Seeking solace at the end of his cross-country bike trip, 21-year-old Leo arrives unannounced at the Greenwich Village apartment of his 91-year-old Jewish grandmother, Vera. Instead, he gets a big life lesson from his former outspoken activist grandma. Over the course of a single month, these two outsiders infuriate, bewilder, and ultimately change one another forever. Amy Herzog's dramatic comedy, 4,000 Miles, received the Obie Award for Best Play, was a finalist for the 2013 Pulitzer Prize for Drama, and was named number one play of the year by Time Magazine. A production of 4,000 Miles is currently running at Capitol Repertory Theater in downtown Albany, New York. We are joined by actors Eileen Schuyler and Miles Jackson, and it's a great pleasure to welcome you both to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
So as I was describing the play, you two were giggling.
Yeah, we were.
So I'm curious as to what you found. Is it the way in which it's described? Because it's so much, there's more depth, or is it just weird to read to hear like what you've been doing for the past couple of weeks?
It's mostly that.
I think it is also very accurate. I think the word bewilderment was where the giggling started because there's much on both sides.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah.
It's a very human relationship, and it's very funny, and it's very touching at the same time. And we're kind of joined at the hip in this play. We're on stage all the time together and butting heads, and we just have a very comfortable, happy chemistry, I think.
So you come ultimately, what do you think that the play, as you say, you're joined at the hip. So what is it? It's about this relationship?
Yes, it is.
I think it's about, the reckoning of two people from two totally different worlds who both very much think that they are right and that they know best. And it's like New Age meets her old age. she was like an actual activist, whereas he's sort of like a privileged trust fund kid who really isn't enamored with a vagabond lifestyle. But she sort of takes his theory into practice and schools him. But he like opens her up too.
He does. Yeah. He does. She's old. She's had two marriages and survived them both, and she's an old lefty from day one, and she's set in her ways and tough and feisty and always right. But this kid comes to her. They're related, but they really haven't had much relationship. We talk about his mother. But they have had little time. He hasn't been to her apartment since her husband's funeral, which was 10 years ago. So if he's 21, he was 11 years old the last time he was there. Mm-hmm. But he's been drifting across the country, lost soul. Some things have happened to him, and he's got nowhere else to turn. And shows up at 3 o'clock in the morning making small talk. And she hasn't got her teeth in, and she hasn't got her hearing aid in, and she's completely disoriented. And he's talking about how she hasn't changed the name on the buzzer. And it starts there, and they just bounce off each other and learn. And it's very funny and very human.
So the obvious question is, how do you play a 91-year-old person?
That's been my biggest challenge. It's accepting my own wisdom and getting more gravity. There's a lot of gravity involved, you know, pushing feet against the floor, having that sort of osteoporosis hump, and losing a lot of flexibility in the hands. So the physical journey has been a part of this process. But the character herself is so familiar to me, and the world in which she lived is very familiar. My family and my mother's friends and my aunts and these people. She feels very familiar, and the words are very, very, very natural and real and human. All the words in the play, all the dialogue in the play just sounds like people talking. So the physical journey was hard, and that's been a big focus of mine. And I guess the rest is just accepting the wisdom of years.
The idea that you have this 4,000 miles, this cross-country bike trip, that it does speak to when you are lost, that of how we rely on family, even though we may or might not have any palpable relationship there.
Sure.
But it's a name and it's someone and you know their family, so you rely on that.
Right.
Because who else are you going to go to at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Precisely. I mean, the interesting thing is that technically Vera is his step-grandmother.
Yes.
But you know, I too have at times sort of like somehow become tight with some relative who actually is either a step-relative or distant from me, but knowing that they are family makes them safe. And I think that's sort of crucial to the story that happens in the show, because they have this sort of obligation to each other because they are in some level family, but they really don't know each other, and really kind of their only common connection is, I don't want to say a common enemy in, but they're both critical of his mother. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of kind of the first inkling of a bond that they have, is sort of how they both see her as sort of failing the liberal Jews that they come from.
There is that commonality.
Yeah.
Yes.
Between the
but
two.
But Vera doesn't put up with any of his baloney. And all through the play, she's picking up his cereal bowls and cleaning up, doing his laundry and trying to get in the door. He doesn't help her. He's on the couch. She's kind of moored on the couch. There was a moment in rehearsal which we found very funny, that Vera can't get off the couch because she's 91, and he can't get off the couch because he's stuck in life. And it's that they build each other up. Mm. People die in her life. She doesn't go out that much, mostly to funerals in this play. And so there's that sort of sad part. There's some sad things in the play. There's some touching things in the play. But the core relationship is funny. And there are other people in the play. There's his on-again, off-again girlfriend who comes in and they spar in the play. And then one other character that he brings home from a bar. And that's a very funny scene, too.
But to your point of you two being at the hip, it really is the two of you that are driving this. And so I assume that relationship is very important between the two of you.
Yes. Yes.
On or off stage?
Well, I meant off.
Right. Right.
I mean on, as far as actors.
Right. Absolutely. We've spent too many hours together.
We have.
but in a lovely way. And Eileen has kind of taken me under her wing and given me a lot of wisdom, told me a lot of stories, but also asked me a lot of questions in hours of tech that we had. But I think I also feel so comfortable now with her on stage that, you know, and it's very, from day one, I was telling people from home, because I was, you know, it's a small cast, so you hope everyone is really lovely.
Right.
And I was just from day one felt that it would be easy to just look at her and respond, and I wouldn't have to try very hard because I could just actually exist there with her, which is very rare.
And Miles feels like a family. I have a son, and he feels like another son. And I know there's a shorthand that that didn't take very long for us to develop, and it's really, it's very funny. We don't want to give away too many secrets.
No, I understand. Yeah.
There are some unusual things they do together. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, which just again goes to show just to how weird families can be.
That's absolutely right. This does showcase that in a big way.
Yeah, and when you know you find yourself to, and you're like, well, how'd that happen? Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
Family.
Yeah,
we've had four performances, and the people that I know who have come so far have felt very connected to the things that happen on stage. They recognized their mother that they took care of. They recognized their aunt. They recognized the teenagers in their lives. They recognize the generational divide. They recognize the kind of arguments they have. They're all completely familiar and very deftly told by this playwright, who is smart and sensitive and has an incredible ear for dialogue. And she puts these people together in ways that are so human and so natural and so familiar. Everyone feels the familiarity of it.
Amy Herzog is the playwright. Any time spent with the playwright?
Pardon me?
Any time spent with the playwright?
No, we haven't.
Okay.
No, not that would yet. Be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah. So what questions would you ask if you had a chance?
What would I ask? Oh, well, what would you ask her?
Well, we do know that that Vera is based on her own grandmother.
Yeah.
I would love to find out who Leo is, because there must be some juicy story there, whoever he is, because he's a very recognizable type. And clearly she takes from her own life, and I would love to...
I think he's a composite. I read an interview with her and she's from the Hudson Valley originally. And my family, there were old lefties, communists in my family, my father's family. My father used to tell us stories about them. They all had chicken farms, and they were all very proud of their communist discussions, to give away one funny line in a play, he says, in those days, communism, it was like recycling.
It was cool.
It was cool. But anyway, they were very distressed, my family, when Hitler and Stalin signed a non-aggression pact. The two parts of their worlds collided, and it was a devastating time. But this is obviously where Vera comes from, and her husband was a great orator and a rabble-rouser, and that all feels very familiar.
Eileen Schuyler and Miles Jackson play Vera and Leo in the new play 4,000 Miles, which is at Cap Rep through October 18th. To find out more, you can visit capitalrep.org, capitalrep.org. Eileen and Miles, thanks so much for joining
us. A pleasure.
Us.
We Thank open tonight, so come see the show.
Excellent. Sounds great. We'll be there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Delight. Again, more information at capitalrep.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.